The right to live is a gift from God. It's the most fundamental right there is, and it's not subject to majoritarian impulses. I mean, stated differently, you don't need the approval of the majority of voters in order to live. You just need the protection of the law so that your mother and her doctors can't kill you while you're a baby in the womb.
Welcome, everybody, to Conversations That Matter with your host, Alex Newman. We're here with For the New American Magazine. We have a very special guest with us today, Judge Andrew Napolitano. Obviously, he needs no introduction. Incredible lawyer, served as Fox's senior judicial analyst until 2021, where he gave almost 15,000 broadcasts. He has taught constitutional law, and he has even served as judge up until 1995, presided over 150, actually more than that, jury trials, and much more. Judge Napolitano, thank you for joining us. We saw an incredible piece that you put out about the Dobbs decision, and it was amazing. You basically read my mind. The New York government had just been slapped down for trying to restrict people's right to keep and bear arms. And then in a ruling almost right after that, they said it was OK for states to allow the murder of unborn babies. You're not happy with Dobbs. Tell us why you think it was wrongly decided.
Well, you know, having been on the bench, I understand that sometimes you can't right a wrong all at once, and you have to do it in baby steps. Justice Alito was my boyhood friend. We were Princeton classmates, and we've maintained a friendship even though I've not hesitated to criticize and praise him publicly. So I understand that, you know, it takes 5 votes on the Supreme Court to overturn a precedent, and perhaps he didn't have 5 votes to do what I think he should have done. But what he should have done was to define the baby in the womb as a person. Is the baby in the womb a person? Of course the baby in the womb is a person. The baby has human parents and all of the genomic material within her to develop to full postnatal personhood. If the baby in the womb is a person, then all abortion is murder because the 14th Amendment requires the states to protect life, liberty, and property equally. So just as it must protect your life and mine and the lives of the people watching and listening to us now, it would have to protect the lives of the most helpless among us, which are babies in the womb. Instead, by ruling that somehow the states have the authority, either through their legislatures or by popular vote, to take a class of human beings, here babies in the womb, and decide that they don't have the protection of the law. Well, that is reprehensible. I mean, the right to live is a gift from God. It's the most fundamental right there is, and it's not subject to majoritarian impulses. I mean, stated differently, you don't need the approval of the majority of voters in order to live. You just need the protection of the law so that your mother and her doctors can't kill you while you're a baby in the womb. Roe stated that. Roe actually said, if the baby in the womb is a person, didn't say baby, it said fetus. If the fetus in the womb is a person, then all abortion collapses under the 14th Amendment. Justice Alito and his colleagues should have picked up on that and addressed Dobbs the way I suggested that they did. Instead, we saw the spectacle of the state of Kansas voting by 59-41, talking percentages, to allow doctors to slaughter babies. We've seen New Jersey, through its legislature, permit abortions up to the moment after birth. You don't like the color of the hair, let the baby starve to death. You don't like the color of the eyes, let the baby die of thirst. Well, this is reprehensible and profoundly immoral and contrary to the foundations of the country, which is that our rights are natural, they come from God. The whole reason we have a government is to preserve our rights, and the most fundamental of those rights is the right to live.
Yeah, and it's so ironic that the 14th Amendment was actually passed to protect a category of people who were denied their rights by the state governments through democratic means and through legislative means. And here we are doing the same thing again, denying the rights of an entire category of people. How should we be moving forward from here, Judge? I mean, should the courts step back in and rule again, or should state legislature? I mean, what's the best way forward here to protect the unborn?
Well, I mean, the Pandora's box has been opened. So now you have New Jersey and California competing with each other to be the abortion capitals of the country. Each will pay for the abortion if the mother meets a financial test. California, never to be outdone, will pay the plane fare and lodging expenses of a mother who flies to California for the purpose of an abortion. I mean, to undo what the court just unleashed would require a tremendous change in sentiment. It certainly can't be done by force. I don't know that the court would ever go back on what it just did. So I really don't have a political answer for you on that. But in many respects, this unleashed demons in society because it unleashed the idea of positivism, which is, that the law is whatever the majority or whatever the group in power says it is. That's effectively what Dobbs has done with respect to abortion. I mean, are they going to do the same thing with respect to people in assisted care facilities who don't produce the way the left believes people should produce, but are just consuming health care and food, and maybe the majority will say it's time for them to go. I mean, this unleashes a horrific specter. This is a profoundly wrong reading on democracy. Democracy is just not majority rules. Democracy is respect for natural rights. Whether the majority likes it or not, I don't need my neighbor's permission or the government's permission to live. But under Dobbs, the baby needs the government's permission to live. So the short answer to your question is it'll take a sea change in people's thinking. The long answer is I don't expect this to change soon. Of course, I never expected Roe versus Wade, even though I know Sam Alito, I know how he thinks, and I know the other justices, and I know how they think. I just didn't think that this that Roe versus Wade would go away, but it's arguably been replaced by something just as bad and in some respects worse.
Wow. Moving beyond the question of Dobbs and abortion, it seems to me, Judge, that the lawlessness is increasing. The Biden administration, the Congress, they just kind of do whatever they feel like it. Are you concerned that our constitutional republic and that our Constitution is crumbling? And what comes next if it does?
I am concerned. I think that eventually the federal government will just go out of business and won't be able to pay its bills. Its endless wars and endless money printing will prove fruitless. No one will want to use its cash. People won't want to work for it. It'll fall like an overripe apple the way the Soviet Union did. And we will break off into mini republics. Now, I don't know where you are, but I'm in the Northeast. So this would be a totalitarian republic if the system in New York and New Jersey prevails. Of course, I'm right next door to Pennsylvania. I'm literally a stone's throw from the Delaware River, and Pennsylvania has a lot more freedom than we have in New Jersey. There's a bridge that goes over the Delaware River at a place called Washington's Crossing. So there's a Washington's Crossing PA and a Washington's Crossing NJ. When you go from NJ to PA, there's a sign that says, "Welcome to Pennsylvania, where America begins." I mean, the difference between the two states is radical. So it will depend on where you are. If you're in Montana or South Dakota, the republic that you're in will respect individual rights, and the same perhaps with Texas and Florida, but certainly not the West Coast and certainly not the Northeast. But I do believe that the federal government is doomed to an end time within the lives of people now living. I mean, Jefferson, who argued that the government requires the consent of the governed, said that this should happen once in every generation, which at the time he said it was once in every 19 or 20 years. I don't know anybody that's consented to the Constitution. Certainly following it is not consent any more than living under Nazi Germany was consenting to it. We really don't have an alternative. I once suggested to the mayor of this very small town where my farm is, he's a conservative Republican pig farmer. You know, it's a farming area. He's a wonderful guy. And I said, look, I don't send anybody to the school system. There's no local police department. I take care of my own garbage. There's no sewage. There's no sidewalks. And still you guys are charging me an arm and a leg just for living on my property, my property taxes. How about if you compete with the next town over for my taxes to see who can provide me with more services at less cost? And this conservative Republican, wonderful human being looks at me and said, I never heard of anything more communistic in my life that the government should have to compete. Communistic, it's the essence of the free market. Nobody and nothing competes with the federal government. It has guaranteed income, guaranteed customers, no competition. It is doomed to failure, and it's on the cusp of failure right now.
Wow. Fascinating take, Judge. In the last few minutes that we have left, what do you recommend that concerned Americans do about the predicament that we find ourselves in? Do you have any concrete ideas, actions that people can take to maybe try to reverse the tide? And by the way, you mentioned Florida. We always have space for more liberty-minded folks down here. So if you feel like moving down, Judge, we've got plenty of space. But what should people be doing to preserve their freedom?
Well, they should educate themselves. You know, they should read The Road to Serfdom by F.A. Hayek. They should read what Madison wrote about how limited the Constitution was intended to be. They should read the Kentucky and Virginia resolutions, which are written secretly by Madison and Jefferson when the government of John Adams enacted the Alien and Sedition Act, which made it a felony to criticize the government. Their theory was that when the federal government oversteps its bounds, when it acts by the sheer force of its will and not pursuant to the Constitution, that the states can correct it. Now, of course, the states are glorified administrative districts who are bribed every day by the federal government, literally bribed. Here's cash. We'll repave the highways, the federal highways in your state. If you lower the speed limit to 55, and if you lower the blood alcohol content to 0.08, every state but South Dakota accepted that. South Dakota said, we don't have speed limits on our highways here, but we'll take the cash, we'll do the accept the repaving, but we don't want to comply with it. Supreme Court said, you want the string, the cash, accept the strings. What left-wing pinko president signed that into law? Ronald Reagan. So the government is out of control. The lust for power is endless. The feds, even well-meaning feds like Reagan himself, will do anything they can to bring about uniformity. And what they can't legislate constitutionally, they will bribe. Because contrary to Madison, the Supreme Court has ruled that the spending power is without limits. Congress can spend on anything I want. So they can't punish me for wearing a yellow shirt. They can't regulate the color of my shirt, but they can tax me if I wear it. And they can give me money to change the shirt. Well, that's the same as legislating. So the system we have now is doomed to failure. Our debt is $30 trillion. One-third of all the tax dollars spent goes to debt service. And that's going to get worse because with inflation, these are variable interest notes, these bonds. So with inflation, the interest rate goes up. And more of tax dollars will be used to pay off the debt. We are still paying interest on the debt that Woodrow Wilson incurred to fund World War I. He borrowed $30 billion to fund World War I. We've paid $15 billion in interest on it. We haven't retired the debt. Only the federal government would pay an effective 50% interest rate. And in this case, it was for the least useful war in the modern era. Well, maybe Afghanistan was just as useless, but absolutely, totally useless. It was just an effort, a fight by dying royalty over border lines, which didn't affect America one whit, and the end result of which led to the rise of Nazism and the horrors that brought. So unchecked government, government that doesn't recognize natural rights, is a monster. In fact, the tyranny of the majority is worse than the tyranny of a madman. Sometimes a madman sleeps, like Henry VIII, when his waistline went from 32 to 56 in 10 years. But the majority, the Chuck Schumers of the world, they don't sleep. They endlessly think of ways to control our lives. It's a hidden defect in democracy. Democracy plants the seeds of its own demise.
Judge Napolitano, what's the best way to follow you? I know you do a column. How can people follow your work and support you?
Well, you can get my column at judgenap.com. It's in print. It's just all on Thursdays. It's in print in the Washington Times. It's in about 25 or 30 websites. My podcast, which is a daily, is Judging Freedom. You can get that on YouTube. I've become the oldest TikTok star. Now, I never heard of TikTok till a couple of months ago, but I now reach an average of 1 million people a day on TikTok. But the best way to watch it is Judging Freedom YouTube channel. We have a long form where I interview guests like you're interviewing me now, Alex, and a short form where I just come right here and I pop up and for 5 minutes explain what's happening. Now, I'm going to tell you this just to antagonize an old friend of mine. The day after the FBI raided Trump's house, I sat right here at 9 in the morning and explained what happened. My friend and former colleague Bill O'Reilly did the same thing at his podcast at the exact same time. He had 300,000 views. I had 1.4 million. There you go, Bill.
That's brilliant. Well, Judge Napolitano,
he liked the Dobbs decision.
Yeah. Well, hey, we sure appreciate you very much, Judge Napolitano. Thank you for coming on the program. Thank you for all that you do for the cause of freedom. We really appreciate it. Hopefully we'll get you back very soon. And thank you once again.
Happy to do it. It's a convenient time for me. All the best, Alex. Keep up your great work as well.
Thank you, sir. All righty, folks. Judge Napolitano on Conversations That Matter. Thanks for tuning in. Until next time, God bless you all.